The Fan on Demand. Go to fan590.com and sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. It's kind of like hanging at your favorite sports pub, except maybe it's a little early for a pint. On the other hand, this is Brady and Lang in the morning on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Good day, y'all. 534 on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. It's Greg Brady, Jim Lang off one more day. But those two last one more days are Saturday and Sunday. Never mind. We'll play in the sandbox without him until Monday. It's August 24th, as mentioned. And tonight begins the Kelly Johnson era in Toronto. I mean, the Colby Rasmus era was one thing. Then it took it. We took it to the next level with the Brett Laurie era. Tonight, we begin anew. That wasn't the level. This is the level. The level before that level, not the level. This is the level. The Kelly Johnson era. We'll play some bizarre moments from yesterday's press conference with Alex Anthopoulos, Aaron Hill, and John McDonald, who I'm told by many, one of the most popular Blue Jays of all time. I'm told that 34 years, superb guy, but let's put it bluntly, you'd rather he was your neighbor than one of your 9 starting players on a really good baseball team. Can we just get that out of the way? Can we get that out of the way all morning? Like every McDonald updates on the 8s, it may have to happen. So Kelly Johnson's a Toronto Blue Jay, maybe just for the end of the year. Aaron Hill and John McDonald are Arizona Diamondbacks, going to play for Kirk Gibson in the pennant race for the rest of the year. And then who the hell knows what happens in the offseason? I would bet you neither of them ever play for the Blue Jays again, despite the performances at yesterday's presser. It's all coming up. Willie Mitchell, a really intriguing interview with Willie Mitchell from the Los Angeles Kings on the way as well. Michael Grange from Sportsnet, who made Deadspin. We'll tell you how he did that later in the morning. Dan Dunleavy's got a sports update next. This is Brady and Lang on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Now, more of Toronto's best sports with Brady and Lang on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
The Diamondbacks contacted us initially about John McDonald because they had a needed shortstop, and from there it evolved to really evolved to include Aaron Hill and Kelly Johnson.
That man is Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. Kelly Johnson will arrive later today. My understanding is, I think most people's understanding is he was on the road trip, didn't have his passport. And if you're like me, you tend to lose your passport. And he went home to Arizona to grab that passport. But it's a reunification with Yunel Escobar. They both played together in Atlanta. Escobar kind of took his gig, really, in 09, started playing a lot more second base before sliding on over to shortstop. So they've certainly been a tandem before. Although this is year number 2 in Arizona for Kelly Johnson. So when the trade happened last year involving Escobar and Alex Gonzalez, he was already in Arizona. So not overwhelming numbers, but here's the problem right now. It's so funny this has happened because there's a distinction to be made between second basemen that are great. We just don't have, I think we got a lot of really good second basemen right now in baseball. We don't have a lot of great ones by any stretch of the imagination. And not just that. I mean, not just that, but you look at Hall of Fame and you think about how many guys have been inducted as second baseman. Producer Dan Deal and I ran this down the other day, and we're looking for second baseman. So Jack Morris went in 1990. Or sorry, Joe Morgan, I should say, went in 1990. Wishful thinking, right? I can't count Rod Carew as a second baseman. He was predominantly a first baseman the last 8-9 years of his career. It's also half Jewish, according to Adam Sandler. But Morgan went in 1990. Then you move up, and you can't count the Veterans Committee picks. You can't. There's so many, for one thing. So I'm not worried if Richie Ashburn went in as a Veterans Committee member. Beyond that, not a lot of options. So you got him going in 90. You jump ahead, and they went all the way. Wade Boggs, I'd call him a third baseman as well. Wade Boggs went in with second baseman Ryan Sandberg in 05. And hop forward, and it's Robbie Alomar going in 11. And they're sort of the seminal second baseman of our era. In all honesty, Joe Morgan, Ryan Sandberg, Robbie Alomar. There's not a name you'd come up with in the last 40 years of baseball that you'd say, let's lump them in with these guys. That's not. There's those three. But there's a lot of really goods in terms of second baseman. My era, maybe your era too, Lou Whitaker was real good. Frank White was real good. Willie Randolph, real good. And that's where we're at, I think, right now. And I don't know that Kelly Johnson's one. And I certainly, I don't think I'm being out of line by saying Aaron Hill's not one anymore. I mean, until he proves otherwise, how could anyone make the argument Aaron Hill's playing like an elite second baseman? This has been a drop-off that nobody can explain. Nobody has a strong theory on that you could listen to. Like Michael Young, you might say, that's a great second baseman. Or Robinson Cano, who's having a little more of a down year than he had last year when people were talking about him, and rightly so, and he was getting MVP votes. Third straight morning with reference to the American League MVP. We'll try and keep that streak going. But there's no great solution, and maybe there doesn't need to be. Do you need a great second baseman to be a great team? Well, I don't think so. Although the Yankees and Red Sox have probably two of the best three or four in all of baseball with Pedroia and Robinson Cano. And Cano is, his success is very much out of nowhere. Not many people at all looked at Robinson Cano when he was coming up and said, that's what that guy will become. We just thought a guy that would, you know, he'd plug into the Yankees, might hit 300, you know, crash 12 or 13 home runs. And they took their time with him. He really wasn't playing regularly for the Yanks till he was 23, 24 years old. And the numbers have been fantastic the last 3 years. The last 3 years especially. They were solid before that, but even better. So there's no solid solution. And if you want to look at the free agency ranks, that's not going to help you anymore either. Next year, it's an absolute dog's breakfast, a free agent second baseman. And the intriguing thing is that includes both Kelly Johnson and Aaron Hill. So there's no great solution one way or the other. And do the Jays need an elite second baseman to compete? I don't think so. They got enough going on at the other positions. The key is going to be, can you solve the closer? Can you get another starting pitcher? Can you get more power from your left fielder? Can Colby Rasmus hit like the center fielder that he was for better parts of last season? I mean, all those things need to happen, right? And there's a lot more. You got solid development this year with J.P. Aaron-Sibian. No question about it. I think this guy will be catching air for 8 to 10 years at the very least. Second baseman on the market, and some people brought up the name of Brandon Phillips. There's a club option for the Cincinnati Reds, $12 million. They buy him out for one. I don't think they're walking away from Brandon Phillips at age 31. Cano's the same way, $14 million club option. The Yankees may as well stroke that up right now before getting a long-term deal done. And then, like I said, then it's sort of the, you know those day-old donuts? That's what this is like with second baseman now. Jerry Harrison Jr., Adam Kennedy, Julio Lugo. Clint Barmes has some intrigue because I wonder if he could hit even better outside of Coors Field in Denver. Colorado Rockies second baseman. And he can play short and he can play third. It's sort of that Ty Wigginton thing. Guy plays like five American League positions. But either way, it was a bizarre. I haven't seen too many press conferences like it. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I have not seen players traded two at a time, sit with the general manager. And if you didn't know any better, if you had the sound down, you'd be like, look at their faces. Did they get a contract extension? Did they extend Aaron Hill through 13? Is Johnny Mack back to, you know, put in his 24 starts and a lot of defense, you know, about 40 more defensive replacement appearances for another season? What's happening with this? I said this to somebody last night, it's a really good sign or it's a really bad sign. Like I was a little put off by it. I mean, I didn't know what to think, not in a bad way. It's the last thing I expected, especially when as you may recall, it started to really stir around 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon. I mean, I was so excited I couldn't sleep. This shows you how slow a sports month it is. That Wandy Rodriguez was passed through, was claimed by a team off waivers, and that team might be the Toronto Blue Jays. It was rumored to be the Washington Nationals. It turns out it's the Colorado Rockies. So they'll take Wandy Rodriguez, who's to me, he's a solid number three pitcher. If he came to this team right now, despite Brandon Morrow getting beat up last night, I don't think he'd be, you'd have him on the depth chart quite ahead of Brandon Morrow. Guy's had one over 500 season in the last 4. But it was really strange. I mean, hey, guys, get in here. You're both gone. Hey, no, we're not even really upgrading that much for the future. Did you get a superstar? No, not really. We gotta catch it. We got a second baseman who's hitting 209, whose OPS is about, 17th among second basemen. If you're Aaron Hill, you're like, wow, man, I was an all-star. You traded me for that guy. And awkward beyond recognition, and these are fair questions to ask from the media, awkward beyond recognition. Hey, Alex, what are you hoping Kelly Johnson brings you? You mean that Aaron Hill wasn't? I don't know, a guy hitting better than a 584 OSP? A guy with more than 6 home runs? A guy with less than, double the amount of strikeouts compared to walks? Any of those would be fine, really. At the end of the day. And no one can explain the Hill thing. But if I'm Aaron Hill, am I sitting out there for that? Probably not. Does he ask to be out there? Does Anthopoulos ask him? I mean, these are fascinating questions. I don't know that they were asked yesterday at the presser, and I don't know if they were asked on Primetime Sports, but we're going to find out at some point in time. There's only so many minutes, and I heard a lot of the interview. Rob Falds, Michael Grange did a great job with these guys, with Alex Anthopoulos and then John McDonald on. And that brings us to McDonald. And I don't know what to say about this. See, why are you hating on John? Leave him alone. He's a great guy. Exactly. But what he's not is a great baseball player. What will not happen for the Blue Jays will be a downswing in attendance because John McDonald's not here. What also will be difficult to find is the person, and there may be one, that's not a distinct family relative that was going to Blue Jays games in the hopes that of the 81 home dates, it might be one of the 13 or 14 times that John McDonald might start a game. I mean, fine. He's their 14th player. He's their 15th player. You can play him at short. You can play him at second. You can play him at third. But had he been able to hit at all in the league, he's a subpar major league hitter. I mean, extremely subpar. Someone would give him more than 150 at-bats a year. That's less than an at-bat per game. Even the plate appearances are barely one per game. Were he anything more than a subpar major league hitter, you'd play him. Because you like him. There's nothing wrong with his defense. But he'd play games. So, superb guy. Better than average infielder. Absolute subpar MLB hitter. But I couldn't believe some of the stuff that I was seeing on Twitter, hearing on the radio, watching on television. One of the most popular Blue Jays ever. Really? So how many players on this current Blue Jays team would you have rather seen traded than him out of 25 guys? 3 guys? I realize you might rather see John Roush traded. You might be okay if Frank Francisco is traded. Any of the closer options, really, that Alex Anthopoulos brought into the offseason. You'd rather see those guys go out than good old Johnny Mack. I'm lost. I gotta be honest. I don't think this happens in other cities. I can't tell if this is because there's been 18 years without playoffs. I've never seen anything like it. You can like the guy, enjoy his grit, but let's not call him a great Blue Jay. Let's not call him one of the most popular Blue Jays ever. Team's going to hear it from the fans here. This is not going to be a popular move because he traded their worst position player. That's why the team's going to miss his leadership. Jose Bautista probably doesn't think so. Adam Lynn probably doesn't think so. the young core that's going to lead this team to something better than anybody in the last 19 years has led them to. And that includes Aaron Sebia, Romero, Laurie, Morrow. I don't think those guys are suffering. I don't think the locker room took a huge dent in the leadership factor. And that's not to diminish a good guy, okay? But we got to get some perspective here sometimes. We really do. I might be coming off as you know, beating a dead horse here. But I'd never heard, honestly, I'd never heard anything like it since I could walk. I can't imagine there's been an outpouring of reaction to this. And I guess if John McDonald's your favorite Blue Jay, that's awesome, man. That's really cool. It, to me, it's a little bit, it's not even the same as Colton Orr is your favorite Toronto Maple Leaf. Or Ty Domi was your favorite Maple Leaf. Because Ty Domi could have got moved from that team almost at any time, and it's not going to affect wins and losses. So there's something you care more about than wins and losses, and I don't know what it is. And really, I've never been that kind of fan that would understand what it is. Shouldn't the most popular players be better than the worst players? Who's the new guy? Is Mark Tehan the new? Oh, boy, that guy hustles. We got to get him in games more. No, you don't. Not really. Not the way he hits. I mean, he's at 50. He's at 15 at bat so far. He's got a hit. Seeing eye single. Bit of a, you know, bit of crow's feet dropping over the second baseman's head. I don't remember what the hit was. That's where it's at, I suppose. I guess that happens after 18. I don't know. I've seen ballparks and baseball teams and fan bases go into a bit of malaise over a team. There's real excitement here for this young core, and there should be. And Anthopoulos is doing good things. To me, this trade's sort of it's a non sequitur. No one knows what it is. It might just be three guys that are going somewhere else for 3 months, and then a lot of them will have trouble latching on and getting exactly what they want. Now, McDonald won't, because again, he's a fantastic substitute player. If you want a defensive player, he's not a great pinch hitter. You'd see him get in a lot more if he was. So let's not confuse a guy that might help you move. You know, those there's guys that help you move. You bought a new house. Hey, you want me to help you move? John McDonald's that guy. But he's not a guy you'd want in your starting nine. And he never has been. And he's not supposed to be. So sometimes things are what they are, and people try and make them what they're not. And that's why I feel a bit bad for... I feel like I'm carving up John McDonald here when I'm telling you exactly what he is. Factually based. And the intangibles are part of it, sure. 5:56. More on this, more on your reaction to this trade that may have no impact whatsoever on the 2012 Toronto Blue Jays, except for the specter of Aaron Hill and John McDonald returning next year. I'm not sure what that proves, and I'm not sure that you want Aaron Hill as your starting second baseman next year. Again, good guy or not, the position many people have felt needs an upgrade. And if you're the league office, let me just say this. If you're the league office, I don't know that you liked that press conference yesterday. The concept of a trade is to make two teams better. It's not to do people favors. It's not to send someone on a three-month, all-expense-paid vacation to Chase Field to try and win a World Series and then bring them back. That's not what trading is in the big boy leagues. So I found it all a bit strange. Not that it's a bad trade. Johnson might be fine. 5:57. It's Brady and Lang. We have a sports update coming up with Dan Dunleavy. Next hour, Willie Mitchell from the Los Angeles Kings, but we'll get your reaction. Brady and Lang at fan590.com. Am I overdoing it? And as well, we'll look into the concept of banning the extra point in football. A pretty elite NFL coach wants to do just that, and he ain't kidding. It's Brady and Lang on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
This is Brady and Lang in the morning on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Again, I can't thank everybody enough for everything. You know, it's been, this is all I've known. This has been my family. Everyone has been unbelievable to myself, and especially my family, my wife and my little girl. And it's been a blast.
My family has really loved our time here. It's hard to leave, but the opportunity to play in the playoffs right now at 36 years old, almost 37, is extremely exciting for me.
I'm gonna play with a chip on my shoulder because there's certainly a lot still out there to look for, and a lot of good reasons, you know, why you should.
That last voice, Kelly Johnson on MLB Network Radio. Muchos gracias, as they don't like to allow you to say in Arizona, for the sound there. It's Brady and Lang, Sportsnet Radio, The Fan, 590 at 604. And, of course, you recognized Aaron Hill and John McDonald, who are just, you know, going to head out for a few months, play in the playoffs. I wish I could have taped some of the calls that the Rog was getting yesterday. I'm dead serious. I mean, hey, Roger, I think this is great. You know, we're just going to go out and get Johnny Mac some playoff and World Series experience and bring him back. He'll be better in the room in Dunedin. I'll hang up and listen. Holy God, are you kidding me? Are you joking? All right. Again, you don't want to be cruel about this, but you can't let that go. When someone calls you, honestly, when someone puts it to you, John McDonald, he's just one of the great Blue Jays. No, he isn't. Stop. Let's have some objectivity here about this. Some semblance of reason. I know the whole concept of being a fan is not being objective, and I'm not about things I really like. Think about it in your everyday life. What are you objective about? Not your house. You probably think it's worth more than it is. Not the music you like. You think it's the greatest. It's better than the Beatles. It's better than the Stones, if you don't like those bands. And yeah, your athletes, your baseball teams, your football teams, your hockey teams. Nikolai Kuhlman, I think, is fantastic. I don't know that I can be objective about him. I think he's going to score 40 goals at some point. I'm serious. I think he's great. But Mike Brown's not going to score 20. Colton Orr's not going to score 10. So you got to be realistic about what's there and what isn't. And to even suggest, it's so bizarre, the concept that these guys could play for the Blue Jays again next year. 6-4 loss last night for Kansas. Kansas City beats Toronto. And as we mentioned, Bruce Chen, in his 29th Major League season, gets his 63rd win. Pretty close to that anyway. But it was 6-0 after five innings. And I'm just saying to myself, please, I mean, I'd buy lunch for a headline writer for the Star or Sun to have posted, you know, in the print edition today, trade rips Jay's heart out, unable to respond, 6-4 Royals. I mean, it was, you know, locker room, clubhouse hopes they can recover. Okay, I'm going thick on the sarcasm, but you get my point. Our number is 416-870-0590, *590, 888-666-0590. And John McDonald probably will help the Arizona Diamondbacks. He is an easy guy to like, a very popular teammate. But let's not confuse this with one of the most popular Blue Jays ever. The team will hear it from the fans, an unpopular move. Oh, you know what? Less people will go to Toronto Blue Jays games. Okay? Less people will go to Toronto Blue Jays games now that John McDonald's not there. And the team will miss his leadership. And that might be true to some extent. But leadership's an intangible. Hits are tangible. Runs are tangible. OPS is tangible. I can do something with that. I can measure it. I can quantify it. I can't do that with the leadership of a guy who has 180 plate appearances a year. I can't do it. How would you do it? 416-870-0590, *590. Did you find it as bizarre as I found it? Do you look at Aaron Hill and John McDonald and say, Alex, I mean, you know, God love you. You're doing a fantastic job here. You're doing far more good than bad. Not every GM is going to hit the fence. At least he's swinging for the fences, right? And that's what they used to say in Boston about Theo Epstein. Different scenario, different payroll, maybe different expectations. I mean, we're in very early days here with Anthopoulos. I'm sorry, but we are. And the test of whether a GM is great or not will be, can the guy bring the talent here? And then can he win with that talent? Can he put all the right pieces in place? Because the teams don't run themselves. And managers come factor into that as well with John Farrell. We don't know yet. I can't tell you if John Farrell's a really good major league manager or not. I like a lot of what I see. I can't tell you he's a really good manager. I don't know. They'll have to play important games in September. It's what we all want. It's what we all crave here. 416-870-0590, *590. Do you want to see them go back to the future? And this has been the complaint about the Blue Jays. Maybe not with the current roster. But, you know, when something happens, when something's done, you just move on from it. Don't you? Aren't there... you bring Aaron Hill back, who's got a, you know, .270 on base percentage, who doesn't get on base 3 out of 10 times anymore when he used to get on pretty close to 3.5 or 4. I mean, Dustin Pedroia's got an on-base percentage of 396. I would bet you in 2009 that Aaron Hill was pretty close to that. I'm looking it up right now. 340. Okay. Reasonable enough. Ben Zobrist had an on-base percentage of 405. There's a lot of good second basemen out there. And the problem is, I don't know if the Jays can get any of them in a trade. There's not a lot in free agency, as I mentioned. Just to update you as well, Yankees and Red Sox both did play last night. A loss for the Yanks. In fact, they almost came back and won. They really did. They were down 5-6-0 in the eighth inning and forced Oakland to use an awful lot of pitchers and extend it out. But Oakland beat the Yankees 6-5. The Boston Red Sox, a pounding of Texas. John Lackey gets his 12th win of the season. And Adrian Gonzalez, 2 home runs, now has 20 on the season. It's pretty much over in every other division. Tigers won, Indians lost, Angels got a game back, they're 3.5 back at Texas. And not just that, the wild card is I've never seen it like this. It's remarkable. Braves have a 9.5 game lead for the NL wild card. The Red Sox have an 8.5 game lead on the Rays and Angels. The Jays are 13 back. Not obligated to say that, but I'm pointing it out. 416-870-0590. Do you like this trade? Do you, though, want the Blue Jays to just wash their hands? And here's the problem. Why set up the expectation for the fans? Why do that? Hey, they might be back next year. Well, what if they're not? Then how do we know if you tried to sign them and failed? How do we know if you just decided, what was I thinking when I said that? Was it warm out? Was I feeling a little peaked? Why did the three of us go up there and act like this was going to be a little 3-month holiday in Arizona? Maybe go to the playoffs, because that certainly isn't a lock for the D-backs. And then roll on back to Dunedin. Hey, guys, did you miss us? I still got my second baseman job? Oh, okay. 416-870-0590. Aaron and Whitby, you're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Morning.
Okay, so I'm just thinking of this trade. I think it's not, you know, as good as everybody thinks, but I could agree with you with your comments about John McDonald. To me, John McDonald is, you know, that consummate little guy that made it to the big leagues. And, yeah, I agree with you and everything you say. He's not a very good player. He's okay for a backup.
Yep.
But to me, this reminds me of everybody falling in love with him, and why everybody does, because he's that little guy that plays really hard. He gives 110%. He kind of reminds me of Wendell Clark. Like, let's be honest, I like Wendell Clark, but, I mean, when he played in Toronto for the 8 years that he did play, he's only scored 300 goals, which isn't bad, but, I mean, Wendell Clark brought more to it than that, because after his first maybe 3 years, he wasn't the same, but people still loved him. And when he got traded and came back and he was not even anywhere close to any good than what he was, people still loved him. That's kind of what this John McDonald refers to me. Just that little guy that makes it, gives it 110%, and that's why people like him. And that's why people maybe are a little bit upset about the trade that's going on.
Aaron, there's a lot to that. There's no doubt about it. I can't go full in with the Clark analogy just because he was so good when he was good and so impactful. He might still... I know what Gilmore's playoff was in 93, but he might have been their most important player. I hope people can understand there's a distinction between the best and the most important. He still was their captain at that given time and then had a great year the next year. But the time was right. Look how unpopular that trade was to get Matt Sundin. That was an unpopular trade to move Wendell Clark. So I can't go with the analogy, because Wendell Clark at one point was very above average at what he was doing. And it's a great debate as to whether Wendell lived up to number one overall expectations. In all seriousness, at number one, yeah, I realize he wasn't Joe, you know, wasn't Joe Murphy. He was a better player than Joe Murphy. And he wasn't Alexander Daigh. But when you look at all the great number ones in NHL history, it's really difficult to say, well, Wendell matched with them. He didn't. But it doesn't make him any more or less beloved. 416-870-0590, *590. Good email with regard to second base. And we were talking about Hall of Fame second baseman earlier. Chase Utley is a guy that, if he continues to have a very good to great career, we'll get in the mix. Craig Biggio is going to be in the mix. But as we pointed out, you can win without a great second baseman. Yankees did it for a lot of years. I'd make the argument in their World Series years in 98 and 99. They'd already moved Knobloch to the outfield at least one or two of those years that they won the three straight. 416-870-0590. Again, I think it's great. Listen, I hope Arizona wins. I was probably going to pull for them anyway. Some Alan Trammell, Kirk Gibson links there. But I hope John McDonald steps up, hits a pinch hit home run off Roy Halladay in the eighth inning. They're probably going to play Philadelphia in the NLDS if they win that division. Philadelphia is not going anywhere. So you're probably going to end up playing the Phillies if you're this crew. Milwaukee's going to get the wild card. Because whoever wins the West is not going to catch the Brewers. And Philadelphia is going to have home advantage throughout the NL playoffs. So, and they can't play the Braves. So it's probably going to be Philadelphia and Arizona if Arizona can win. Either that or we're going to get that great Lincecum-Halladay duel a couple times in the NLDS. And no one's complaining about that. But I hope Arizona kicks the stink out of Philadelphia. And I hope McDonald and Aaron Hill play big parts. It gives me a rooting interest. But these guys were what they were. And sometimes we get way too carried away in thinking about, in overthinking a player's impact just because he's a superb dude. A lot of these guys are superb dudes. Jose Bautista wasn't walking around the clubhouse last night going, oh my God, I got this void in leadership now. Believe me, he wasn't. 416-870-0590. Quick one to Tony in Oakville. You're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Hey, how you doing?
Great, thanks.
I just think it's a nice touch for Adam Lind and John McDonald, really. I mean, if...
Oh, Aaron Hill. You said Adam Lind.
Right, yes.
I knew what you meant.
If Arizona calls and they're making a push and they're looking for a couple of guys that might help them, and we can take a look at a guy that maybe in the future, who knows. But I think we're making a bit of a reputation, hopefully, around the bigs that we're bringing a little personal touch the way maybe at one time we did where we cared about the guys that are with us, because we've now sent two guys that are good guys to a team that has a shot at something, and that means a lot, and I think it doesn't hurt us either when players start thinking about Toronto and how we treat people.
No, I don't disagree. I think it'll be more of a destination. We just don't know. We don't know. Can they sign a guy? Here's the litmus test, in all honesty. Will they ever be able to sign a guy that the Yankees or Red Sox both want? Because that's when they used to win, is getting guys that everybody else wanted, but they got them. Who wouldn't have wanted Paul Molitor, Ricky Henderson, Dave Stewart, Jack Morris, on and on and on in the early 90s. They got them, and nobody else did. 6:16, let's check in on an update with Dan Dunleavy, Willie Mitchell later on in this hour. The NFL may abolish the extra point if a NFL coach who likes to videotape things has his way. We'll tell you what he said and the subsequent fallout to it next.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Join online at fan590.com. Now, more of Toronto's best sports with Brady and Lang on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Ah, yes, the sweet, sweet sounds of fall. We're 13 days, no, 15 days, damn it. We'll be 13 on Friday from NBC's coverage of the Saints and the Packers. I will be at Lambeau Field that night. I'm doing the show from Toronto that morning with the inimitable Jim Lang. And then flying to Chicago. It's the greatest sports city in the world. Are you kidding me? What? I mean, they've got the onions there to prove it. Toronto? I got my citizenship and I bolted. Are you crazy?
Swirsk, you're an idiot.
So anyway, Chicago and then off to off to Green Bay, Wisconsin. The extra point in the NFL. And let's also lump in college football, the CFL. Any drama to it at all? Well, someone doesn't think so. And that someone is a guy that, railed about it on Sirius NFL radio the other day. Bill Belichick. Hates it. Can't stand it. Wants it gone. His quote. Oh, actually, he talked to WEEI in Boston. Even better. Philosophically, plays that are non-plays shouldn't be in the game. I don't think it's good for the game. Extra points when the odds are in the 99% range, it's not a play. Let's move the ball back to the 15-20-yard line and not make it a tap-in. Let them kick it. Same thing the kickoff return. If you're going to just put the ball in the 20, put the ball in the 20. Now, of course, what this has done, your thoughts on this, first of all, an NFL without extra points. or longer extra points. It is remarkably boring. I mean, let's put it this way. If you knew that the extra point was taking place during the commercial, would it really upset? I mean, would you wait through the commercial and be back the second after it happened to find out what happened with it? Not most of the time you wouldn't. You wouldn't miss it if they went to a break, showed the extra point, and you just thought, okay, guy made it. They're rarely missed. There's not even that much drama when they happen to be blocked. I mean, I'm looking down the list here. The amount of kickers that were 100% last year would blow your mind. I mean, kickers are just really good at this now. This isn't like the 50s or 60s. We're not playing in you know, mud bowls all the time. Even Sebastian Janikowski, 43 of 43. David Akers, 47 of 47. Neil Rackers, 43 of 53. Vinatieri, 51 of 51. You get my point. Okay, Josh Brown from St. Louis missed an extra point. Woohoo! I mean, it almost never happens, especially in the NFL. Ryan Longwell. Yeah, you remember that one he missed last year? Exactly. You don't. Ryan Lindell missed one for the Bills. Nope. No recollection. Should we move along from this? Is Belichick right? I mean, he's got some odd opinions, like being able to videotape people surreptitiously and without their knowledge. It's kind of the same thing. Belichick says, get them gone. And of course, this has brought out special teams folks who are already complaining about the rule changes that move the kickoff from the 30 to the 35, even though we used to have it at the 35. But kickers are just stronger now. They're better. They don't miss as much. We have way more 50-yard field goals than we've ever had in the NFL. Way more. What would you like to see after a touchdown? For me, I don't even want to see them move the ball back. You run the ball or throw the ball across the goal line from the 2-yard line, you get a point. And you run it or pass it, you got a choice. Set it up at the 2 for 1 yard, for 1 point. Set it up at the 5 if you want to. And you get another football play. That's real exciting. That's real dramatic. Let's face it, when teams go for 2 anyway, it's exciting. That's when you're not going to the bathroom. That's not when you're wandering off to find more pretzels or get a vacuum for the pretzels that you spilled. You won't do it if a team is lining up their offense right after the touchdown to go for 1 or go for 2. But we're to the point now in the NFL where it just, there's nothing to it. It's boring. The amount of guys, I was shocked, actually. I would have said there'd be way more extra points missed. Not even close. And the scorers in the NFL are certainly the guys that get, I mean, if you miss an extra point, they're going to ask you what happened out there, beyond the obvious, if it was a bad snap. This is even with veteran kickers. You can't even judge anything from it because it's so random. If a kicker ends up missing 3 from the 35 and in, the owner will basically come to his locker and fire him. Look at what happened. Look at how kickers and punters get treated in the league. Look at the punter for the Giants last year after he kicked the ball right to DeSean Jackson with no time remaining. The Eagles run down the field, win the game. Jackson's in for a punt return touchdown at home at the at East Rutherford, and the Giants are left with egg all over their face. There's no doubt in my mind we're a better league. The NFL is a better league if you get rid of this. But my goodness, the kickers will be out. Well, that's my livelihood you're talking about. Don't mess with my livelihood. You don't want to mess with Olindo Mare and Billy Cundiff's livelihood. It's great risk, tremendous risk. The other NFL thing that caught my eye, well, they deal more of this morning. Curious to get people's reaction on this. And this is just surfacing now. Sports Business Daily dropped this, that on Charlie Rose back in the fall, or rather recently, because we're not in the fall yet, but back in April, Jerry Richardson is the Carolina Panthers owner. And the Panthers, if you might remember, had the first pick overall. And there was a meeting with Jerry Richardson and Auburn quarterback Cam Newton. You might expect that, right? The owner of the team that has number one pick might want to meet the pick beforehand. Look for any warning signs. Look for any issues. Welcome him to the family. But this is before the draft. This is important to note. And Cam Newton and Jerry Richardson had a little discussion about tattoos and piercings. According to Mike Florio's Pro Football Talk article, Richardson, who said that Newton was, quote, dressed perfectly for their meeting. Thank you, Jerry. Hello, Jerry. Was blunt. I said, do you have any tattoos? Richardson told Rose. He said, no, sir, I don't have any. I said, meaning Richardson, do you have any piercings? He said, no, sir, I don't have any. I said, we want to keep it that way. We want to keep no tattoos, no piercings, and I think you've got a very nice haircut. And you're like, what's going on here? Is this some kind of Showtime special I don't know about? Is this Taxi Cab Confessions? Interjected the host, you sound like a Lombardi. Said Richardson, no, I just sound reasonable to me. And it's really intriguing to think, it's kind of this circumvention of fashion and the notion that the Yankees have never let guys have like facial hair beyond the obvious, you know, Ned Flanders-esque mustache. Don Mattingly can wear a mustache. It's like the famous episode with Mr. Burns, where he keeps telling Mattingly to shave the sideburns when all the pros were playing on the softball team. And it's probably the only funny thing. It's the only time I've ever really laughed at gigantism is when Ken Griffey got it right before the big game. But can an owner tell a player, sorry, man, no tattoos? What if he gets one? What happens then? I mean, was it some kind of veiled threat from the owner? Like, I had a guy at a, where'd we go? Like, just a little Mexican takeout place yesterday. And one of the guys serving me was it's like one where you walk up, you can see the food, you order it, he puts it on your plate. Superb service, great place. I don't want to mention the name. And I say to him, can you do this? And he was great. He was really polite and everything. And at that point, I noticed like his right arm is, I can't see his skin. It's all tats. He's Tommy Lee'd out. Okay. I don't even give it a second thought. Don't even give it a second thought. Now, would I hire him as my lawyer? Maybe not. Do I want a lawyer? Do I want somebody doing open heart surgery who's got the mom tattoo on the elbow? Maybe less so. I don't know. I can't tell if I'm a anti-tattooist or not. 6:33. More on that later in the morning. Willie Mitchell coming up next. First, the Money Game with Mike Eppel.
The Sportsnet Radio Fan 590 Money Game, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Acura presents how to make your money work for you. Simply visit your Acura GTA retailer and get up to an $8,000 cash purchase incentive on select 2011 models.
Morning, Greg. Trying to figure out if anti-tattoo, is that... anti-dentite?
Pfizer, and he's got a picture of a Harley on his neck. I mean, do I want to buy GICs at that point? I don't know. I'm serious. It doesn't make me a jerk. It doesn't make me a jerk.
Does your stockbroker have tattoos? That is the question.
It's a good question.
Yeah, and we're watching the markets this morning because, it's been sort of all over the map. Yesterday was very interesting as that earthquake struck. And the market reaction.
Did you feel it?
No.
Physically? I didn't either.
No, I did not.
No.
This is the second one I've missed.
I felt it the one downtown about a year ago, but you were probably already out in the Durham region by then. We didn't get anything out there.
Slept right through it. the markets yesterday were very interesting in as much as when that occurrence, that earthquake struck in Virginia, the Dow took an immediate tumble. It was down 50 points and then quickly bounced back, and by the close it was up 322. And then today we're seeing... no follow-through whatsoever. U.S. stock futures down again. Commodity prices lower. Price for gold hit a record of $1,918 an ounce yesterday, and it has been lower ever since and is down 13 right now at $18.48. And the price for oil down 30 cents at $85.14 to start the trading session.
All right, NBA lockout, big numbers. I know it was sort of mentioned overnight, but up to $1 billion in stadium revenue at risk from empty arenas this fall and winter.
Yeah, that was the $1.1 billion in gate receipts that the 30 teams generated last year. So if, in fact, the league were shut down for an entire season, that would be the estimate going in. Having said that, a lot of teams were already looking at maybe, raising prices for tickets, specifically the New York Knicks, because of the big renovation to Madison Square Garden. So there could even be more revenue for these arenas specifically taken out of the system. And it's just another, issue for the U.S. economy in general. When you start talking about a shutdown of a professional sports league, you know, that takes a lot of money, not just out of the owners and the players' pockets, but also all of the people who work at those stadiums. So it just has this trickle-down effect. And Madison Square Garden, which is actually a publicly traded company, incidentally, downgraded to a neutral recommendation by the Bank of America yesterday because of the concern about an extended NBA labor shutdown.
Yeah. Well, we talk about in the States, too, and it was such a lead-up to the strike, the NHL lockout, I should say, in 04, but no one's going to cry violins. You know, we're going to bring the violins out for MLS&E, but you mentioned it. There are workers. Everybody that works at a Raptors game 45, 46 times a year right now won't be working.
And the revenue.
And the revenue.
And the revenue generation for the restaurants, right?
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, regardless of what the wage scale is, a lot of people feel the effects when a professional sports team has a labor issue.
Hey, Mike, great stuff. We'll get more at 8:30.
Thank you.
There's Mike Eppel and the Money Game. We'll look around business and its impact on sports. More at 8:33 with Mike Eppel. Willie Mitchell on his way next, a player who missed an awful lot of hockey due to a concussion. He's back, had a good season with the Los Angeles Kings, part of a talented young defense corps. He's really the Papa Bear of that corps. We'll speak to him next. It's Brady and Lang on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Now, more of Toronto's best sports with Brady and Lang on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
6:43, next hour, Michael Grange. More on the trade that was between the Jays and the Diamondbacks. And yes, Aaron Hill, John McDonald likely in the lineup for the D-backs. And Kelly Johnson will probably make his, of course, Toronto Blue Jays debut. We're pleased to be joined by our next guest. He'll head into his 11th season in the National Hockey League after being a standout at Clarkson University, a BC guy who was a Vancouver Canuck alternate captain, and he's involved in a great charity endeavor out on the West Coast, and he's kind enough to join us from there. He is Willie Mitchell. Willie, it's great to have you on the phone. I mentioned Clarkson, and I know that you're teammates and very good friends with Eric Cole there, who signed with Montreal in the offseason. Did you know Eric was going to turn into the pro he turned into?
I'm going to have to say yes.
Yeah.
he's one of my best friends. Yeah, we were actually roommates at Clarkson. We were freshmen together. Came in the same year. Roommates. Become great friends ever since. And yeah, he's always had that kind of freak of nature strength on the puck. He's just super, super strong on the puck. And he has that change of gear. And he had that at the college level. And we're fortunate enough, both of us, to kind of step in and play a lot of ice time, get a lot of ice time, and our guy named Mark Morris there, and both kind of won Rookie of the Year first year together. It was kind of funny. Roommates, best buddies, and co-winners of Rookie of the Year for the league, and yeah, from early on, you knew he was going to do well, and you know, obviously he has.
That's funny you mention that, because I know Mark a little bit. Mark hopped on and was coaching in Saginaw with Mo Mantha for the better half of a season. And then, if I'm not mistaken, didn't he take the – is he with the Kings AHL team? He got a job in Manchester, didn't he?
Yeah. World comes full circle.
Yeah.
I know, I'll go down to L.A. I had no idea he was down there. I'm in training camp, and I run to him. I'm like, Mark, how you doing? Yeah, that's the hockey world.
Well, and you're thinking, I better start off well, or I could get waived or bought, and then I'll be playing for you again. That's the last thing I want, right? The transition for you seemed to go so well. I know, you know, you had wrist injury, knee injury, and it kept you out for, you missed a handful of games, but you were pretty excited to get back full health, put the concussion behind, and you must have been happy with how everything went, and certainly a chance to win that first round playoff series, and a bounce here and a bounce there, and you probably do just that.
Yeah, I think on a personal level, it was exciting year, just because you know, physically coming off a concussion, as long as I did, that was kind of the main hurdle. And to go through a season and have no issues with that is being realistic, was in the back of your mind. Had a couple, in hockey we like to call superficial injuries, a broken wrist and a knee, but kind of unfortunate in that regard. But yeah, it was it wasn't too bad of a move. You know, expect some more things of myself this year. I kind of felt like I plugged in, and you know, in the second half of the season, the playoffs was kind of more typical of my game. And, you know, this year I look to kind of expand on where I left off last year as a team. We're a great young team, need to learn as a group. And sometimes the only way you learn is going through those things. And, you know, for us, I think this year we really felt we could advance in the first round. We thought we were the better team and thought we actually played the majority of the series was the better team, but didn't get it done. And that's, you know, part of maturing and knowing when you got a team where you want them to, you know, be a team like, you know, the Detroit, we can just put a team away when you're in that situation. And I think, you know, it's another big challenge ahead for us, but we feel that we're ready to kind of maybe get up to one of those elite level teams.
I mentioned a young defense corps and you stepping in, having that veteran experience, having gone deep in the playoffs before. Give me your observations of your first year playing with both Drew Doughty and Jack Johnson, who we talk about Doughty a lot in Canada, but I think for Team USA, for anybody putting Olympics and World Championships teams together, this guy's going to be a big part of them for a lot of years to come.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to play with Drew on and off last year, you know, kind of the second half, more so than the first half, play with him. And, yeah, he's an exceptional player. His first four strides, his get up and go is just, it's crazy. And he wants to make a difference every time he gets a puck. He's kind of got a passion and excitement for a game that I really admire and respect. And I think that's what makes him one of the best, you know, young defensemen in the game. You know, we also got a guy back there named Jack Johnson, and defenseman, sometimes it doesn't happen overnight, and I think Jack, you start to see his game evolve. It's crazy saying this, but Jack could actually be the more talented of the two players. His hands are amazing, shot, he can skate like, heck, I came in 99, and I remember skating with Scott Niedermeyer, and he wouldn't have a drip of sweat on him because he could skate so effortlessly. Jack Johnson's the exact same way, and you know, I think you're seeing his game evolve and improve, and everyone knows what he does on the offensive side of the puck. And I think he's one of those young defensemen who's starting to find out defensively all the things that need to be done.
Willie Mitchell's our guest. He's part of the West Coast Fishing Club putting on the 6th Annual Fishing for Kids Tournament August 28th to 31st for our West Coast listeners. We'll get you more information on that, but the website is Fishing for Kids Tournament. You're getting a captain coming in, another leader in Mike Richards. What was your reaction to finding out the very talented Mike Richards would be helping out your offense this year?
You know, I think it's an important move by the organization just because it's you know, we really felt last year we had some injuries at the end of the season, but, you know, to some marquee players, and, you know, all teams have injuries in the playoffs, but, you know, when you lose, you know, arguably your best player, you know, in Kopitar down the middle, and down the middle is such an important position in this league, as we all know, it hurt us. And now we kind of got like a, wouldn't say a 1-2 punch, I'd say a 1-4, which is just exceptional down the middle. Kopitar, Richard, Stoll, and then you got a great, great young player in Trevor Lewis down the middle. He reminds me a lot of, you know, Alex Burrows when he was young in Vancouver, kind of just starting to crack through. He's very smart. No, it's just a vote of confidence. It's, you know, it's, you know, from a GM when he goes out and makes some moves, you know, and you obviously picked up Richie there, but he picked up Gagne, just picked up Ethan Morrow here. And that's a vote of confidence that there's a, you know, belief in your manager that you guys can, you know, win.
Willie Mitchell's our guest on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590. You mentioned the concussion. The story of the summer, and you're obviously following it in BC, is Sidney Crosby and whether he'll play and be ready to start training camp. And were there moments in time in rehabbing from yours and your most recent that you thought you were ready? Did you know in your heart of hearts, your mind of minds that you were ready and the doctor put your doctors would ever put a stop sign on it? Was there a moment in time where it just crystallized and you thought, no more symptoms, I feel great, let's move forward with this?
Yeah, I did it maybe a little bit untraditional way. I kind of waited as long as I could. I started feeling better, and even when I felt better, I kind of sat back because I had the luxury of, you know, when I had my injury, the playoffs were going on, the team wanted me. I had all those external pressures of getting back in the lineup, pressures I put on myself, pressures the team put on me, pressures this, you know, the city put on, just because, you know, of course they want one of their players in the lineup when they're in the most important time of the year. So I had all summer to kind of relax, and I didn't really crank up things until the July, and I did a little boot camp with a trainer in the middle of nowhere where no one could find me. On the ice, because I just didn't want those external factors, what I kind of alluded to earlier, is, you know, obviously if you go through those things and you still have issues, there's going to be disappointment on yourself personally, but you don't want those external disappointments, you know, whether it's media, coaches, you name it.
because I think a lot of people with concussions don't understand that stress in life in general gives you a headache, but meanwhile you got the brain injury, and so any of those stresses, which are listen to people, is he going to play, is he not going to play, those add to the situation, just really don't allow you to get better when you're in that state. And I can only imagine Sid, all the pressures of being the most marketable player in the NHL, and media, family, friends, everyone, how's your head, and that's the last thing he wants to talk about. He wants to distance himself from that. I hope he's healthy. I hope he's getting healthy. I hope he's kind of getting away from those distractions, because I'm a true believer that's a big part of getting healthy.
LA Kings defenseman Willie Mitchell, our guest, part of course, the 6th Annual Fishing for Kids tournament coming up later in the month. Your concussion happened in a year where we talked and debated. Matt Cook's hit on Mark Savard and Mike Richards' hit on David Booth. And the hit by Malkin, you were critical of. You were critical of Colin Campbell. Are you hoping that in a year in which Crosby was injured and we lost a lot of other good players for long periods of time, David Perron's another one who's just not ready right now, are you hoping that in the transition from Colin Campbell to Brendan Shanahan, and knowing what we know and more talk about concussions and how to prevent them, that we'll get the league in a better place and we'll lose less good players like you and David Booth and Mark Savard? Are you hoping that's the case?
Yeah, of course, right? And we've long looked at concussions, even, within my peers, the kind of guys, laugh about it sometimes because it's such a unique thing, right, is that you kind of lose control of your body when guys get hit in the head, right? Mm-hmm. Legs go this way or whatever, and guys used to laugh about it, and you're seeing it evolve, and I think that's what I'm happy about. Nothing in society, whether it's shots to the head or anything for that matter, just, is a Band-Aid rip and switch. It always evolves. It takes time. It's getting attention now. Unfortunately, a large part of that is the number of head injuries that are happening, maybe, to one of the marquee players in the game and Sid. And, I'm just happy, like I said, that there's attention to it, awareness to it. Proactively as a group, we're trying to work on it. Do I have my, distinct views on a few things? Sure. But that's life. Everyone has different views on everything.
Before you go, you'll be getting out on the water, fishingforkidstournament.com. The Canucks owner will be there. The Aquilinis are part of it. Mike Gillis part of it. Dan Hamhuis, and you're part of it as well. And that documents, just like I said, your ties to BC before you went away to college and how much it means to be, a sports figure and a prominent one in this province, doing a great job for charity. Tell us about the event real quick.
Heck, it's an unbelievable event. I really feel special that I got to be a part of this. And I slid in the second year of the event. Brian Grange at West Coast Fishing Club put it together, and hats off to him. He's done an incredible, and his team's done an incredible job. 5 years we've done this now, and we've raised $2.35 million. And I say that figure, and the part I always like to follow it up with is 40 people who have raised that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big number for 40 people. So 40 of us go up there. We pay our entry fees. We go up, we fish for the kids, and the events kind of evolved. It used to be just strictly for BC Children's Hospital out here in Vancouver, and kind of with my ties to the Canucks, we brought in Canucks Autism Network. The owners, the Aquilini families, that's a passion close to them, is one of their sons has autism, and now, we raised money for both charities. Last year was kind of the first year Canucks kind of got on board. Gillis is there. The owner, Dan Hamhuis, is going to make it this year. It's just a great event. We've been lucky enough that everyone who's won in the history of the event, this year it's $200,000. The first prize, biggest fish, has donated their money back to the cause, and it's an excellent event, excellent resort, and like the synergies to it from Vancouver, so it's a good chance for me to give back to the Canucks organization, who were good to me, and also, like I said, to the people of British Columbia, because the hospital ties and the autism network.
Well, it starts August 28th, fishingforkidstournament.com. Willie, a great pleasure having you on. Really enjoyed our chat, and hopefully we'll get to do it again sometime. Thanks so much for taking the time to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime. Sounds good.
There's Willie Mitchell at 6:56. After 7 o'clock, Aaron Hill and John McDonald are Arizona Diamondbacks. Do you want them back as Toronto Blue Jays? And we'll talk about some of the bizarre concepts that were floated at the press conference yesterday. In addition, Kelly Johnson makes his debut tonight for the Toronto Blue Jays against the Kansas City Royals with Ricky Romero on the mound.